You have a Bible today, turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And we are going to read about the Great Commission. It's called the Great Commission to the church, and that is obviously spelled out in the scriptures. That is found in all four of the Gospels and also in the book of Acts. And I want to speak today on the purpose and the power of the gospel. That's what saved us, that gospel message. That's where the plan of God is seen and the power of God is experienced. But let's look at two verses. Three verses. Verse 18 through 20. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Father, we ask your blessing on your word today. May the power of your word be felt today. I pray, God, that you would continue to give us opportunity to fulfill your will, to fulfill your purpose for us on this earth, and that is to share the gospel with others. Lord, help us now as we speak and as we hear. For your glory we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody said where God calls, God equips. And there's another statement that is, the will of God will never leave you where the grace of God cannot keep you. There's an old poem, it says, Shamgar had an ox goad, David had a sling, Dorcas had a needle, Rahab had some string, Samson had a jawbone, Moses had a rod, Mary had some ointment, but they were all used of God. In all their different places, positions, callings, God used all of them. And God will do that with any person who just humbles themselves and gives themselves to the Lord. Isaiah said, Here am I, send me. And so God did that to him, and he was a great prophet in the Old Testament. I think everything is in place for our church for the coming months. Everything is in place. Things are opening up for us. We have some things planned. We have a building. We have some property. Amen. We have freedom in America still to preach the gospel, to invite people to do things. You have a pastor, and that is a good thing. Amen. I hope it's a good thing. And so you have somebody to teach and to preach. We have contact with all kinds of people. Everything is in place. All God needs is the prayer to be answered. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. In John chapter 4, Jesus said, Lift up your eyes, look under the fields, they're white. Already in the harvest. So something great can be done for the Lord. Amen. I just want to get in on it. In Psalm 78 verse 41, it says about Israel, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they limit the Holy One of Israel? God wants to do something, but through unbelief, through murmuring, through doubt, through lack of faith, they limited the Holy One of Israel, because he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that's where our faith is. God can do all things. Amen? All things are possible with God. He created the heaven and the earth. Certainly he can do a great work in somebody's heart. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58, our Lord went to different places. Some places he went, great miracles. Other places, like this text, Matthew 13, 58, He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And it all had to do with their faith. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a story there about a widow woman, and she has some sons, but her husband has passed away. And so she goes to the prophet, and she has a prayer request. And she says, the creditor is coming to take my two sons as bondmen because we have nothing to pay them. And so the prophet said, well, what do you have? And she said, well, I have a pot of oil. And so he says to her, well, take that pot, send your boys to the neighbors to get all the empty pots they can get. and bring them in, and then just start pouring out into those pots. And so she did that. She got all these pots. Can you imagine that? One pot and then bigger pots and so many pots. And as much as she poured out into those empty pots, she filled all of those pots. And the Bible says in verse 6 of 2 Kings 4, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. If she'd had more empty pots, they'd had more oil. Amen? But they only got so many pots. We need to go get more pots. Amen? Because when we limit ourselves, we limit God. God can do anything. You have a story in 2 Kings chapter 13. And the king of Israel is there, and the prophet is there. And the king of Israel, that nation, is fighting against the Syrians. And the prophet, well, boy, I ought to read it. Let me just show you a Bible principle here. You don't have to turn there, but in 2 Kings 13 and verse 15, Elisha said unto him, take a bow and arrows, and he took a bow and arrows. The prophet said something, he did it. You have, and he said to the king of Israel, the prophet says to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon the bow. The prophet said, do this, and he did it. In verse 17, and he said, open the window eastward. And he opened the window eastward. And Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, that's the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And it goes on like that. It still goes on. Here's the prophet speaking for God, not speaking his own words. He's giving the word of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so here he is giving this. And the king is saying, okay, I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that. And so this king shot three times and stopped. He had five or six arrows because the prophet scolded him and said, you had five or six arrows. Why didn't you keep shooting the arrows? I said, shoot the arrows. But the Bible says this. He said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice and stayed. He listened to all of this, and when it came time for this, he just stopped. And the prophet said, you would have delivered your people, and you would have been victorious more than three times against the Syrians. But since you stopped, the deliverance is going to stop. So what am I saying? I'm saying God can do anything. Amen? And when we see something in the Word of God, if we practice that, God empowers that Word. And he empowers us as individuals, and we can do great things for God. Now, the opposite is true also. When we do something for God, there's a great victory. And there's many, many stories. I don't want to take the time to read all of these, but the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? I know when I speak the word, it's not me, it's not my influence, it's the power of God settling on that word and taking that to somebody's heart. God used Esther to save a kingdom. God used a little maid to point Naaman to God. God used the widow's mite to illustrate great sacrifice. It wasn't how much they gave, it's how much they had left. God used Mary to give one of the greatest examples of faith in the scripture. She came to anoint his body aforehand for the burying. And it was such a great illustration. Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, this also which this woman hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial. She believed in a resurrection. The disciples didn't even believe that. And so she was an example of great faith. God used David. David was the eighth. David, the eighth son. David was the little guy. David was the little shepherd boy who nobody thought could do anything. God used Moses. He was of slow speech. And he needed a mouthpiece. And so God gave him Aaron. And they worked together. But God used Moses. God used a little lad with a little lunch and fed thousands of people. Amen? Because he gave his lunch to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, great, great portion of scripture. For ye see your calling, brethren, your calling. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It doesn't say not any, it just says not many. Because sometimes pride puffeth up. And God resisteth the proud. And sometimes the mighty go in their own strength and depend on their own goodness. But it goes on and it says he's chosen the base things and the weak things. In verse 31, same chapter, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For Christ is made unto us wisdom and sanctification and all of those things. It's Christ that does that for us. So what is our calling? Our calling is when we're weak, we're strong in him. Amen? When we're foolish, we're wise in him. And all of the things that God offers for us, his righteousness, and that glorifies God. In John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. How do we glorify God? What is our calling today? Why did God save us? Why did he call us? He did so we could glorify himself, glorify God. In Revelation chapter 5, I'm all over the board today. Just the verses will just pop up. This is going to be a long sermon. Amen? Amen? Okay. Joyous laughter. Amen? Joyous laughter. But it talks about we were created for his pleasure. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, so we can glorify God. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And so that's what glorifies God. I think that's so neat, so important. That is the gospel. So we keep the main thing the main thing. I got a letter from the pastor that my wife and I got saved under. She was saved under the previous pastor. But this, he's a dear friend of mine. He's in his late 80s, and he's very ill, very, very ill. He's not pastoring anymore, but he still goes out and preaches. And sometimes that's a very difficult thing for him to do. But this is what he wrote. Dear pastor and friends, the month of May is come and gone, and the coming of our Lord is a month closer. The trumpet could sound at any time, so we need to be busy giving out the gospel while there is time. His whole life's been dedicated to that. I have come to the place that I hold on to the pulpit to make sure I don't fall. I did preach on Wednesday, May 19th, and Sunday, May 21st, at his home church in Florida. I finished my radiation treatments May 28th. I'll have to wait for the results. I go back to the kidney doctor June 7th. To take the catheter out to see if the pills had worked, and if not, he'll put the catheter back in and discuss surgery. There are other areas in his body that are not working, but because of his age, they're not going to do any surgery or anything like that. But he's still serving the Lord. He's holding on to a pulpit so he can still preach the word of God. Amen? Make our call. And he's a pastor, I understand that, but we all have a calling. And that calling is to share the gospel with other people. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. We tell people how to be saved. I think that's so important. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. The purpose of the Great Commission is to get people saved. And that's our purpose. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is a message to us. That is a message to the church. We cannot do that individually. We have to do that collectively. Amen? One person can't go into all the world, but one person can do their part and their share, and then the churches reach the world with the gospel. You have in Luke 24, 47, 48, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Witness is somebody who's seen something so they can say, I saw it. Amen? And we've seen the power of God in our own life. We have in John chapter 20 and verse 21. Then Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. The Son of Man came into the world to die for sinners. That was his purpose. That was his calling. He went to the cross. Amen? Nothing could deter that. I came to do thy will, oh my God. That's what he said. And as God the Father sent the Son sends us. It is exactly the same calling. It's the same purpose. It's the same power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both, too. Jerusalem, Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. But he says both, because Jerusalem and Samaria, Jerusalem and Judea, Jerusalem and the uttermost parts of the earth. This is our Jerusalem. Amen? So we reach this place, and this is a hub. This is a place where the gospel is preached, where people can be saved and come to know the Savior. And then it spreads like those seeds. And those seeds get planted all around the world, and they produce trees. And those trees produce seeds. It just goes on and on and on. As thou hast sent me, even so have I sent them into the world. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The message of the church is the message of salvation. That is the main message. Neither is there salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Acts chapter 5, the disciples were beaten because they were preaching for the gospel, preaching about Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that they were accused of filling Jerusalem with their doctrine. They filled the whole city. This was before newspapers, radios, cassette, 8-track tape players, you know, before computers, before email, before, you know, Facebook and all that. They filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. How did they do that? Not from an office, not from a little cubicle. They did it by personally talking to people. You have in Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And then when God said, go to the desert, he went to the desert. But it was always about that personal contact. And what happened in the personal contact? The gospel was given out, because that's the power of God. I want you to be like me. Well, I go to this church and we do this and we eat chicken and we do all of these things and we have a lot of fun. That's fine, but the gospel needs to be in there. Amen? And sometimes getting somebody to church gives them opportunity to hear more verses and have their attention. You have in Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 9. And it says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. He got saved. He started preaching Christ. Acts chapter 12. But the word of God grew and multiplied. This is the early church. This is where our history comes from. This is what we're teaching in Sunday school. This is our heritage. The word of God grew and multiplied. Acts chapter 19, verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The early church was evangelistic. Amen? It met the needs of the people, but it was evangelistic. Samuel Chadwick, and I quoted this verse earlier, but pray ye, this is what Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That is the prayer. Samuel Chadwick wrote, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. When they pray. Spurgeon wrote, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. Andrew Murray said, the man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelism in history. That's a prayer meeting. Amen? That's where the church gets together and prays. In the Great Commission, Christ assured the church, lo, I am with you always. And he is there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. This is all so basic and so powerful. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 12, God says to Moses, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. The psalmist said, open thy mouth wide. God says that. Open my mouth, thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And so we're dealing with people, and we deal with people, and we don't know what's going to come up. We don't know what's going to be said. We don't know what the circumstances are. But we trust God. A lot of times new converts are fearful about witnessing to somebody. Just tell them what happened to you. Amen? Just tell them how you got saved. You don't have to have a deep Bible education to win people to Christ. All you have to do is be saved. Amen? And as soon as they got saved in the Bible, they just went everywhere, preaching the Word of God and sharing that faith. In Acts chapter 18, God says this to Paul. He goes to Corinth. I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. There's much people. They're there. Paul, be faithful and give the word out. We have in Acts chapter 11 about Barnabas, verse 24. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Over and over and over this principle. Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas, the accusers of them, bringing a strange doctrine, but they said this, you've turned the world upside down. Isn't that amazing? Here's two men, and they've turned the world upside down because they won people, and they got excited for God, and they won people, and it just kept going. 1 Corinthians 16:15. Say, why are you using so many verses? Because it makes the point. Amen? It's not my opinion. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that's the beginning of where it happened, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They've addicted themselves. I'm addicted to chocolate. Amen? I've tried to quit eating it, and I can't for about an hour. Amen? And it seems like, you know, you just have to have it. An addiction. I just have to have it. Oh, that we were all addicted to the work of God. Amen? That we could turn the world upside down. That we could confront, not in a bad way, but in a way where we earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Paul said, and you know how he suffered. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Nothing else matters. That's what he wanted to do. Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's one of the pictures of the armor that God said to have so we could fight against the devil. Romans 10:15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. That's the missionaries. So here we are. We witness. We bring people to Christ. We testify. We win souls. And we send missionaries out all across the world. Dr. James Kennedy wrote this. He said, one of the saddest statistics of our day is that 95% of all church members have never personally led anyone to Christ. 95% of all church members have never personally led someone to Christ. It's important to invite people to church because they'll get a gospel message. A lot of people get saved in church. It's important for those things to send out leaflets and flyers and to write articles and to get on YouTube and preach messages. All of those things are important to send missionaries. But we personally, that is our calling, to win somebody to Jesus Christ. You say, I don't know how to do that. See me. I'll show you. I'll show you the verses. I'll help you, guide you, so that you can go witness to somebody and they can be saved. It's so important. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 23. The Bible there is talking about this great feast that was made. And this one made an excuse why he couldn't come. This one made an excuse. And they all seemed to be good excuses, but they were foolish excuses. They seemed good excuses to them, but they were foolish excuses to God. And so he has this big feast, and nobody's coming to it. And so he says, go out into the highways and hedges and get the lame and the halt and the blind and just get all the downtrodden and bring them in that my house may be full. Why? Because there's a feast here. Amen? And the word of God is given out. Think of it. I wish more people listened to YouTube. You know, I look at that and see how many clucked. It was chickens that watched that. They cluck on it, and they watch those messages, but not many do. But we can get our friends, we can get our neighbors, and forget the special day. We could do that tomorrow. We could get somebody for next week. That's the work of the church. Amen? Not the pastor, the church. All of us working together, striving together for the faith of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 2:17. We are not as many which corrupt the word, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak Christ. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible talks about, I think it's chapter 4, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. I like the songs that we sing, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. Oh, isn't that fun? Isn't that a little kid's song? But it's true. If we don't give the gospel, we're hiding it. And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, not to the saved. The saved know the gospel. I want to go through a number of verses. There's a lot more than this, but I want you to see the importance of this. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:12, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:23, this I do for the gospel's sake. 2 Corinthians 8:18, whose praise is in the gospel. Galatians 2:2, communicated unto them the gospel. Ephesians 6:19, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Philippians 1:5, for your fellowship in the gospel. Philippians 1:12, I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. It doesn't matter if it's good, a trial, a temptation, a tribulation, the gospel goes on. Philippians 2:22, but ye know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. Philippians 4:3, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Two more. 1 Thessalonians 2:2, but even after they had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That's the gospel. And there's so many more verses. What is our calling? What glorifies God? What should we be busy doing? Witnessing. Amen. Winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without that personal connection, that does not happen. So it's something that we must do. It's the Great Commission. It's the story of Christ coming to this earth and dying for our sins. As the Father sent me, even so send I you. We wrote a devotional today. I don't know if you read it. We write one every week, and it's on our website. Every week it's new. And I try and correlate them with the messages, but it was about this very subject. And it's just another voice. It's just another facet of what we're talking about. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 24, Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures nor the power of God? And the scriptures talk about our purpose, and the scriptures talk about God empowering us for that purpose. It's God that worketh in you. Paul said, he said, when I came before you, I was nervous, I was weak. But he says, I preached in the demonstration and power of the Spirit of God. That's what does the work. And we just share the word. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but ye tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. We said that in Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And here we go again with all of these verses. Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That's the beginning. That's where that church really flourished. That's where in chapter 2 you had 3,000 saved. And you come to chapter 4 and the power of God is just everywhere and people are getting saved and it's absolutely amazing. And they were with one heart and one mind and one soul and one cause. They had all things common because that was their calling. Acts chapter 4, verse 33, with great power. They were preaching the gospel. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. I'm trying to make this interesting, but the purpose of this message is not to make it interesting. The purpose of this message is not to, you know, make sure I've got everybody's attention. The purpose of this message today is just to give the word. And you may need to listen to this again when you get home and see what God has to say about this. But this is so powerful for us. Acts 26:18, Paul, what's your ministry? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. From the power of Satan. He's powerful too. And he blinds men's eyes. And so it takes the power of God to open men's eyes. Amen? And it's not our power, strength against the devil. It's God's. And you and God make a majority. What a prayer meeting they had in Acts chapter 4. It says about the boldness of Peter and John, but the Bible says, I'll turn over there. I think I need to read this. Just one verse. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The early church prayed together. The early church lived this life of a testimony for God. A righteousness, a holiness, a desire for Almighty God. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's so important to pray that we might have that. We need to witness to our loved ones. We need to make sure that our loved ones know for sure they're going to spend eternity in heaven. And we need to give them the gospel. We need to witness to our neighbors, our friends. Amen? We need to witness to people so they know where they're going to spend eternity. And it's not because of being religious. We need to preach the gospel to them. With all, pray also for us, Paul said in Colossians 4:3, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Pray for me that God would open doors. I pray for you that God would open doors for your neighbors and your friends and your family. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. These all continued Acts 1 with one accord in prayer. That's the message. What did they pray? God, give us opportunity to witness. God, give us your power on the word. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to this calling. Help us, Lord, to win souls. That's what it's all about right now. The Lord is coming. Amen? He is coming, but we still have time. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. That's what he wants to do with us today. That's the message of the hour. Amen? We'll get together in Sunday school. That's what we're going to do today. We're just going to pray. We'll pray for the church. But witness to somebody this week. And not just invite them to church. Ask them where they're going to spend eternity. There's so many ways to start that. Because it's so important, is it not? And we do. We have 5 or 6 weeks to prepare for this meeting. And sometimes people don't want to hear it. Maybe you've talked to them before. But maybe they'll come to church and hear it one more time. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, please bless the word today. Please bless the word. May it be so powerful to each one of us that it gives us new purpose. Open doors for us. Open hearts. For your glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please.